Jesus, thank you that as we turn our eyes to you now in a different way, that you'll speak to us, that we'll see your glory and grace as it's at work in our daily life, that we'll recognize when you've spoken to us in our dreams, and that we'll gain understanding of how even in the night times when we're asleep, you're still at work in our lives. You never stop ministering to us, speaking to us. So Father, we just set aside tonight to learn more, to discover more of the wonder of who you are and the way that you interact in our lives. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Thank you, darling. That's so yummy. Oh my goodness. So, so good. Well, hey guys, it's a real privilege to be able to share with you guys tonight. Let me turn that round. It might make the print a bit bigger. Funny thing about getting older. Hey, so tonight we're going to be looking at dream interpretation. And I want to start off by just sharing a scene we'll probably all be a little bit familiar with. How many of you have ever watched Antiques Roadshow? Oh, yeah. Someone finds something in their house, in their attic, something that belonged to a long past relative, and they're like, I wonder if it has any value. And they take it along to the Antiques Roadshow, and they go, either this has no value at all, or this has this obscene value that is so far out of your mind's idea of what it could possibly be worth. And you know, our dreams are a bit like that. In the Western church, we've lost the importance of our dreams. We've relegated them to that funny thing that our ancestors knew about, but it doesn't quite fit our modern style of living. And so we put it in the cupboard in the background, and wonder if it still has any actual value. So we're going to look at the value of that tonight, the value of our dreams. So throughout scripture, obviously we see God speaking many times in dreams. The first one was, first recorded one was a king called Abimelech. When God came to him in a dream, and in a dream, him and God had a conversation. So right from the get-go, we see that dreams are not just random pictures that come into your minds. They can actually be interactions with God. And you can have an experience with God in a dream. So it's not just a random picture that comes into your mind. So we know, of course, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Daniel, Mary's Joseph. So many people had dreams in scriptures. And until recently, in the Western church in particular, we've gone, oh yeah, dreams, you know, the New Agers think they have meaning. But, you know, we know better. They're just dreams. And they're probably pizza or, you know, something like that. Or cheese, particularly cheese. Which is really sad for us people that love cheese. It's like, can't eat cheese late at night. Oh dear. So a lot of the times our dreams are our subconscious mind working on our everyday issues. And we don't realize what's happening. We go to sleep and we have a dream. And we wake up and we go, what was that all about? Why did I dream that I was chewing on something and I kept chewing and I kept chewing and I kept chewing and I just couldn't swallow what I was chewing on? And we go, well, that's got to be a pizza dream. But if you know how to interpret dreams, you'll realize that in your daily life, there's something that's been presented to you that you can't quite swallow. Because a lot of dreams are metaphors. God speaks in metaphors. He speaks in parables. We see Jesus using parable time and time again. Scripture is full of metaphors. The Lord is my shepherd. I am the door. I am the light of the world. They're all metaphors. They're all sayings that talk about an eternal reality or something that is like something else. And God often speaks in metaphors in our dreams. And that one of not being able to swallow when you're chewing is a very common dream that people have. I've never had it, but apparently it's a very, very common one. Another one is teeth falling out. And again, it's talking about the ability to not be able to digest properly, to not be able to take stuff in properly. Getting ahead of myself. There's so much I could tell you about dream interpretation. There's a couple of verses I really love. Ecclesiastes 5:3 says this: a dream comes when there are many cares or when we keep thinking about something, giving us restless sleep and fractured dreams. So our dreams are often about our everyday life, the things that are percolating away in our subconscious, things that we're mulling over, problems that we're facing at work or relational problems, things like that. But in Job 33 as well, there's this really cool verse, verses 14 to 18 actually. For God does speak, now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears and seal their instruction, that he may turn man from wrongdoing, keep him from pride, preserve his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword. So God's purpose in dreams is to give us revelation and instruction. It's that he may turn us from wrongdoing. It's that he may keep us from pride. He may preserve our soul from the pit and keep our life from perishing by the sword. Now, in our modern day Western culture, we don't have too much of the perishing by the sword bit. But he does use our dreams to stop us doing stupid stuff. And perishing by the sword is sometimes a little bit like that, isn't it? It's about warfare, but it's also about where we do stupid stuff and we make mistakes that can be fatal. So dreams are invitations wrapped up in night parables. All revelation that God gives you is an invitation, and it's an invitation to three things. It's an invitation to deepening intimacy with him or relationship with him. It's an invitation to conversation and dialogue with him. And it's an invitation to cooperate with him. What do I do about this dream that I've had, God? I can remember one dream that I've had. If you're a prophetic person, the tendency will be to assign a spiritual meaning or interpretation to every dream you have, because that's the way you're wired. But the reality is most of the time our dreams are about us and about our day-to-day circumstances, not about the church. I can remember one dream I had where I was standing on a hill with four other leaders of the society that we were living in. And we were looking down onto a city that was set on a hillside, and we were discussing whether it had the needed infrastructure to sustain the growth that it was about to come into. I woke up and I thought, I know immediately what that means. That's talking about me as a prophet and the other fivefold ministries, talking about the need to discuss and figure out whether the church has the needed infrastructure to sustain the growth that's coming to it. Immediately I put a spiritual meaning on it, not understanding that first of all, it probably had a personal meaning, that I needed to sit down with people I trusted and talk about where my life was headed and whether I had the needed infrastructure to sustain the growth that was coming. Does that make sense? So if you're prophetic, don't automatically assign everything to having a spiritual meaning for outside of you, because a lot of it will have a meaning for you, and it may even have a double meaning, as I believe that one did. So dreams are a form of communication, and why should you learn to interpret your dreams? Because God hides so much in them. But not only for your personal life and your personal growth, but so that you can provide context for the non-Christians and the others that you come into contact with in their daily life who don't know how to interpret their dreams. We had a night market stall at Pakuranga Night Market in Auckland for a few years. And we did free dream interpretations, free words of destiny, free spiritual cleanse, free tattoo readings, a whole pile of stuff. And we had this guy come in one night and he says, "I don't know why, but I just felt I should come to the market tonight. I didn't need anything, but I walked in the door right by your stall and it said free interpretation. Can you tell me what this dream means?" And we're like, "Yeah, of course we can." So he sits down and we say, "You know, why don't you share with us about the dream you had?" He said, "Well, it was really weird. In this dream that I had last night, somebody was knocking really loudly on my front door. And it was so loud, it woke me up, and I got up and I went to check the front door and there was no one there. Do you know what that means?" And we're like, "Yeah." So we share with him what it means and he goes, "Oh, I don't know about this Jesus thing. I'm a Muslim. I don't know about this, you know." And so one of our team members said, "God, give me a word of knowledge for this man that'll show him that you really do know him." And the Lord gave her a word of knowledge that the man loved to take photos of sunrises and sunsets. So she shared it with him. She said, "I've just asked Jesus to tell me something about you that I could not possibly know, because he knows you." She said, "You love to take photos of sunrises and sunsets, don't you?" He goes, "How do you know that? Nobody knows that, not even my girlfriend. I've never told anyone I love doing that." And he pulls out his phone and scrolls photo after photo of sunrises and sunsets. He gets saved that night because of a dream that he didn't know how to interpret. And that's why it's important that you learn how to interpret your dreams, because there'll be a day when you're called to interpret someone else's, because you're the one who knows the one who has the answers. So God speaks to Christians and non-Christians alike in dreams. There's so much. There are riddles and mysteries, and God speaks in metaphors. And his redemptive purpose is so good. So even your nightmares. How many of you hate nightmares? Me neither. I wake up from them and I go, I just want to forget that. Until one day I realized there's a verse that says, God works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So therefore my nightmares must be made to work for my good. And once I figured that out, I was like, oh my goodness, then what are my nightmares telling me? They're telling me of things I haven't dealt with. Fears that are subconscious or unconscious fears. Or maybe they're just attacks of the enemy. And even if they're an attack of the enemy, it's got to be made to work for good. So God's giving me a heads up and giving me an answer to something. So next time you have a nightmare, don't just go, "Oh, I just want to forget that." Go, "Oh, I'm about to get an upgrade." Because that's what you're about to get. You're about to get an upgrade in revelation, an upgrade in breakthrough, an upgrade of moving beyond fear. Because on the other side of fear is breakthrough. On the other side of fear is the goodness of God. And when the enemy comes to instill fear in you, that's where as Christians we see differently. And we don't come under it. But we step through it and we go, on the other side of this is breakthrough. On the other side of this is the goodness of God. On the other side of this is fresh revelation for my life. So, what does God do through dreams? He speaks to us personally. They reveal things that are on our hearts. And I'm going to go quickly through some of this stuff because I've only got 30 minutes to share. And seriously, I've got a 103-page manual on dream interpretation that I'm trying to fit in 30 minutes. So if you want to find out more, you can get the manual. Rob's got some copies down the back. But so they reveal things to us, things that are on our heart. We can receive revelation about life issues and solutions for them and during them. The dream I shared on the promo video with Janet, the guy that was working on inventing the sewing machine was stuck. He didn't know how to join the thread and how to make it link through the material. So he went to bed and he had a dream. And in that dream, he dreamed that he was in a cannibal's cauldron. It was a metaphor. He was in hot water. Click. Funny, eh? And then all around the cauldron were these people with sticks in their hands. And he noticed that in the bottom of the stick, there was a hole. And every time they stabbed the stick into the ground as they chanted and moved around the cauldron, when the stick came up, it had a bit of dirt in it. And he woke up in the morning and he goes, I've got the answer. We put a hole in the bottom of the needle and it goes through and it picks up the... And there was a whole pile more to it than that. But that was the answer to his problem. He was in hot water. He didn't know what to do. And he had a dream that gave him the answer. So good. The guy that invented combine harvesters came to him in a dream. And what a difference that made to farming. John Lennon, Paul McCartney, the song Yesterday. Heard it in a dream. Woke up, wrote it down, signed his name on it. Amazing. Some of the inventions. Arnold Palmer was having trouble with his golf swing. Went to bed, had a dream, saw that he was holding his hands differently in the dream than he normally did on his golf club. Got up in the morning, thought, I've got to give that a try. And it totally changed his golfing career. Amazing. So much stuff. So much stuff I could tell you. Oh. Understand that your spirit never sleeps. Your spirit, soul, and body, and your spirit doesn't sleep. Your spirit continues to work in your life even while your body's resting. In that verse that I read out, it said that God gives dreams and he gives night visions. Sometimes your dreams are actually spiritual encounters that are taking place in the night. Sometimes they're night transportations. You can see yourself ministering to somebody somewhere else over in the world. And you wake up and you go, well, that was a weird dream. I was just in a jail cell in China ministering to somebody. And you think, well, that's not ever going to happen. It just did. You were transported in the spirit and you saw it happening in your dream. Because your spirit doesn't sleep. Your spirit continues to see. Your spirit continues to experience while you're asleep. So God speaks a lot. I want to talk a little bit about metaphors and how God uses metaphors in dreams. Because that's incredibly important. Oh, another thing, just before I get onto that. Understand that your dream language will be quite individual to you. You can use dream dictionaries, and do, but don't make them the only source of interpreting your dream, because they're not the way the Holy Spirit speaks to you. They're generalized. Often they're taken out of scripture. For example, a dream dictionary that I've got at home, if you look up dogs in that, every reference to dogs is negative. And yet in our world, dogs aren't wild beasts. They're household pets. And it may be that to you, a dog running toward you in a dream and you wake up and it feels really good, maybe to you it's a sign that you're about to enter into a new stage of loyalty and friendship in a relationship, kid, and you wake up. But if you were someone who got hurt by a dog when you were a kid, and you wake up and you saw a dog running towards you, and you wake up and you go, maybe it's because there's something that you're facing in life that is threatening to you at this moment, and that's how it's showing up in your dream. So context is really important, and your individual language with the Holy Spirit. He will use things from your life, things that you're familiar with, things that you grew up with. For many, many years, I had a nightmare, had it very often, where I would dream of people that were chasing me or a person that was chasing me in this nightmare with a knife to stab me. And it wasn't until I was born in, when was I born? 55? Thank you, darling. Born in 1955, and it wasn't until probably 2008 that I realized what the dream was all about. It was about my childhood abuse and being attacked as a child. And once I realized that, and the fear of being attacked and the fear of being set upon, once I realized that, that dream stopped. But up till then, it was frequent. But it took me all those years to figure out, but it was all about, it was something that I understood, something that had happened in my life that made sense to me. So context is critical. How am I doing? I'm doing okay, aren't I? Let's talk, before I get on to metaphors, because we're going to go into that, some common dream themes. And some of you will identify with this, with these. Animal dreams. The animals that we see in our dreams have meaning. Are they family pets? Are they tame? Are they wild? These will give you clues as to their meaning. Animal dreams are very common dreams. And most of them, the meanings are very common to all of us. Are you scared of the animal or do you like them? Do they give you a positive feeling or a negative one? What's that animal mean in scripture? What does scripture say about that animal? That will give you some understanding of it. Another common theme is buildings and houses. These feature often in our dreams and can show us things about our lives. Childhood homes can point to childhood issues still needing to be resolved. Or they could point to a time when we were happy and carefree, and we're not that at the moment. So the feeling and the context of what's happening in that childhood home, in that dream, is important. Different rooms, attics often talk about what's happening up here. Basements talk about the hidden things in our life. Living rooms talk about the places where we feel relaxed. So even individual rooms and houses have meaning in your dreams. Another common dream is dreams of school or learning environments. And they can relate to both natural and spiritual parts of our lives. Food dreams. Food dreams are often food for thought dreams. And they don't actually relate to food itself. They relate to what we're digesting or what we need to digest or think through. There's so much that you could go into with all of these. pursuit dreams, cleansing dreams, dreams of being in the bath or shower, brushing your teeth, shaving, going to the bathroom, putting on makeup, are all classed as cleansing or self-conditioning dreams. And they can be about emotional, physical, or spiritual things that need to be looked at in our lives. Naked dreams are usually about transparency. Some Christians get upset about naked dreams and about sex dreams in particular, because they will sometimes dream that they're having sex with someone other than their spouse. It doesn't mean that you have a dirty mind. It doesn't mean that you're about to commit adultery. Usually what those mean are they mean that they're related to issues of intimacy, usually. And the person that you're having sex with in the dream, it's about what they represent to you. So, for example, please excuse me picking on you, Wes, if that's all right. If I had a dream that I was having sex with Wes, and which is not ever going to happen, by the way, just to clear that up. But if I had a dream that I was, then I would have to wake up and I'd have to go, what is it that Wes represents to me? This is a dream about intimacy. So Wes represents to me a father figure. He represents someone who has care and nurture over my life. And so it's about that thing of intimacy and needing care and nurture. Does that make sense? Because that's one that Christians really struggle with. They think, oh my goodness, I'm such a bad person. I had this nasty, nasty dream. I need to repent. I need to fast. I need to pray. I need deliverance. No, there's just an intimacy thing that God's wanting to highlight to you. Either a need for intimacy or something like that. Clothing and accessories dreams. Guys can have these as well as girls. Ladies, if you dream about buying a pair of shoes, buy the shoes. I love that saying, Cinderella is proof that a pair of shoes really can change a girl's life. Trouble is, Cinderella is also proof of a lot of other things that aren't good. But hey, you know. Clothing and accessories, these dreams are about how you present to people, how you present yourself. So have a look at that. Flying dreams talk about breaking out beyond normal confines of life, rising above circumstances, or they can be about accessing spiritual realms. Falling dreams are often about feeling out of control or being overwhelmed in situations. Fear of failure or even shame issues can bring falling dreams into our life. Dreams of dying are usually about grief over something or loss of some sort. Or you may have a getting your house in order dream. A death dream can talk about getting your house in order. That's not meaning you're going to die. And we can wake up from a dream like that and think, oh my goodness, I've just been shown that I'm going to die. No, it just means there might be something that you need to do to get your house in order, to get your life sorted. Or it may be that you're afraid of something, afraid of losing something, particularly if you dream about losing someone who is close to you. Can be a fear of the loss in that relationship. So don't automatically go, oh, I dreamed about losing Aunt Mary. I've got to ring Aunt Mary and tell her she's going to die. She doesn't need you to do that. What does Aunt Mary represent to you? What are the qualities of her life that you're fearful of losing in some relationship that you have? Those are the things you want to look at. Vehicle dreams are about your ability to move forward in life, either in the natural or spiritual, about your job, ministry, or influence usually. Dreams about past relationships. Again, these are a little bit like the sex dreams. We can wake up from them thinking, oh my goodness, I've just dreamed of my very first boyfriend. What's wrong with me? Am I not satisfied in my relationship with my husband or something? They're often about dealing with past issues, dealing with things from our past. So, and again, dreams of other people are usually not about the person that you're dreaming about. They're usually about what that person represents in your life, qualities of their life. That there's one particular person that if I dream about this person, I know that this dream is about that I'm feeling put down. And that because that person has put me down in life. But it's not about the person, it's just about what they represent. The feeling of being put down. Does that make sense? And healing dreams. Our bodies were designed to communicate to us. And sometimes our bodies will communicate to us in our dreams and tell us things that about how we're feeling physically, emotionally, socially. God can even give you answers to physical problems in your dreams. But if he does, I suggest that you talk that one through with someone before you change your medication, because you had a dream that you should stop taking the medication. Talk that one through with someone rather than just go, oh, God showed me in a dream that if I stop taking all my medication for my whatever, I'll be fine. Or you might have manic episodes, or you might become depressed and suicidal or something. So talk that one through before you just listen to the suggestions that your dreams are giving you. But sometimes they can be God saying, actually, you need some more sleep. You need to rest a bit more. Okay, so. Oh, Janet, I didn't get those things out of the office. Sorry, darling. So how to interpret your dreams. I'm not going to go into this very much because we're going to give you a handout. I think they did 30, so you might need Grant to do a little count. And we're going to give you a printout to take home so that you can look at how to interpret your dreams. But you want to look at things like give it a title. What's the overall theme of the dream? Drawing a picture of your dream will help as well, because you will draw the things that stood out to you the most. Record the content of the dream. How do you interpret your dream? Really simple. Ask Holy Spirit questions. He's the one who knows how to interpret dreams. Ask him questions. The more questions you ask, the more questions will be raised probably. But you'll get the answers. And I know that sounds simplistic. You know, it must be that, you know, surely there must be some keys and some formula that you can go through to. But really, he's the best one. You know, Joseph, when he was in prison with the two guys, he said, God's the one that interprets dreams. Ask him. You know, and so they asked, and God gave Joseph the interpretation. I want to share a quick dream with you and how I interpreted it. In this dream, I was walking in a local park close to home. It was a nice day in the dream. A few clouds in the sky, but mostly sunny. Notice as I'm writing out this, I'm putting in some details because the details are actually important. There were others around me all enjoying their time in the park too. Suddenly I see movement out of the corner of my eye. I turn and see a large dog running toward me barking, and I wake up. I notice that when I woke up, I don't feel alarmed or scared. But my heart is racing, and I'm aware of childhood memories which have left me wary of dogs. So that's the background. So how do I interpret this dream? First of all, the theme of the dream is that I'm walking in a park and a dog runs towards me. So I have to look at that for a minute. And I realize I'm walking in a park close to home. That's two metaphors right there. A walk in the park and close to home. And so immediately, what is it I'm thinking in my life is a walk in a park, or walk in the park at the moment. And it's obviously something that's close to home. So that means it relates to me personally. It's not a church dream. It's a personal dream because the metaphor close to home talks about it being personal. Is that making sense? So, and then there's a large dog barking toward me, running toward me barking. Could mean different things depending on the dream, depending on the feeling and my history with dogs. Like I said earlier, if you were a kid that got bit by a dog, a dog running toward you in a dream might mean that you're feeling threatened by something. Particularly if you wake up before the dog gets to you and you're just, you know, you don't know whether he attacked you or whether he slobbered all over you, you know. So my childhood history with dogs could make me think it's negative and something bad's about to happen. But I have to ask the Lord about it. What's feeling threatening or making me wary in my life at the moment? Is the Lord warning me about something coming that I need to be on the lookout for and be ready or wary of? A threat, a possible personal attack, a problem that will feel threatening if there's nothing that I can think of at that time that's happening in my life at the moment. So the interpretation rests on whether it relates to something that's happening in my life now or something that's coming up. And that you can only get by asking the Lord. Lord, what is it in my life that I'm feeling threatened with right now? Because it's not about the dog. It's about the emotion and the feeling that the dog raises within me of feeling threatened. So maybe there's something happening in my life over the past few days and my subconscious is wanting me to look at it and go, hey, this is a reality for you. So that then gives me stuff I can start to process with the Lord. Lord, what is it I've been feeling threatened about? Oh, I've been feeling threatened because I don't quite know how I fit here or something like that. You know, it could be any number of things, whatever. I'm feeling threatened because we've just got a new boss at work and he works completely differently than my old boss. And I'm not sure how to relate to him yet. And so the more you ask the Lord and the more you talk to him about it, the more you'll get what that dream means. Or it could be that it's not about something that you feel threatened about because for you, a dog running toward you was like, dogs were my only friend when I was a little kid. I had no other friends. And so a dog running toward you in a dream could mean that you're about to get enveloped with love and loyalty and friendship. Does that make sense? So, okay, so let's look at some metaphors. Can you pop the metaphor slide up for me? Here's some metaphors from Scripture. See if we can find that. Sorry, darling. Psalm 23 is like every verse is a different metaphor. You lead me beside still waters. You restore my soul. So many metaphors there. I am the light. I'm the light of the world. Those are metaphors. Jesus is saying he's like something. A metaphor says it is like something. What's some modern ones? A walk in park is one, obviously. that I used in that dream, close to home. I just can't swallow that, is another modern metaphor we use. I'm the good shepherd, is a metaphor. Jesus is speaking about the way he looks after us and cares for us. You're the potter, I'm the clay. That's another metaphor. This scripture is full of them. And so we're going to... we're going to look at metaphors for a minute, because a lot of your dreams will have metaphors in them. They'll have figures of speech that are like something. So I want you to have a look at those, and I want you to find one that speaks to you. And we're going to do our first activation. First activation is a personal one. Just changed all my activations on the spot. Don't you love that? First activation, personal one. What one of those speaks to you? Something that Jesus wants to be or wants to say to you that he is. And then just ask him for a minute, Lord, what do you want to tell me about who you are in my life right now? In the situations I'm facing in my life right now. Maybe he's the door and he wants you to enter through him. We automatically think that means salvation, but maybe it's the door into a new future. Maybe it's the door into a new job. Maybe it's the door into a new area of freedom. The door can mean many different things. So just take a minute, have a look, have a read of them, see if any of them particular speak to you, and ask the Lord what he wants to say, and then take a moment and write down what he says to you. We're going to take this one again, and I want you to find someone else in the room, and the same metaphor that just spoke to you, what I want you to do is say, Lord, what is it that you want to say to this person? How do you want to encourage them about what you want to be in their life? Does that make sense? So, for example, anyone want a prophetic word? Okay, darling, down the back, do you want to come on up? I'm just going to use you, if that's all right, to show you how this one works. Okay, so for me, I'm going with the first one. I'm the light, light of the world. What's your name, hun? Heather. Heather? I'm Lynn. Good to meet you. Yeah. So I'm asking the Lord, Lord, what, how do you want to encourage Heather about what you want to do in her life right now, using that metaphor, I'm the light, or I'm the light of the world? And Heather, what I feel the Lord saying to you is that there is an a realm or an area of revelation that God wants to begin to open up to you in his word. It's an area where you're going to need to do some study. You're going to need to dig deep. But as you dig deep into that, he's going to turn the light up for you, and he's going to become light to you in that study. And you're going to get revelation out of it that's going to feed you for the next year or two of your life, because it's going to become a life scripture to you over the next couple of years. I don't know what that scripture will be, what the Lord's going to take you into, but it's this, I can see this light beginning to, sorry, I see things, so I'm describing what I'm seeing as well. I can see this light sort of going on the inside of you as the revelation begins to well up within you and come alive within you. But it's going to mean that you're going to have to sit down, you're going to have to do the study. But the reward is going to be so good, because it's going to feed your soul, your spirit, and your physical body for the next couple of years. Okay? Okay. So, got the idea? Okay. Jump up. Find yourself a partner. Okay. Just as you're walking around trying to find yourself a partner, just to give you a couple of couple of perimeters, a couple of guidelines. When you're prophesying over people, please don't use dates, don't prophesy mates, and don't prophesy babies, and don't prophesy geographical shifts. Okay? We want this to be a safe place for people. And remember, when you're prophesying over someone, when you're giving a word to them, if I can have your attention just for a minute, because this is actually really important. When you're giving someone a prophetic word, at that moment, say if I'm prophesying over Janet, at that moment, Janet is the more powerful person in that equation. Why? Because she's called to weigh what I say. Scripture tells us that we are to weigh prophecy. The prophetic person, the person prophesying, is not the more powerful person. They are submitting what they're hearing from the Lord to that person to weigh. So that person is actually the more powerful person. So you all just now feel really empowered that when someone prophesies over you, you don't have to accept a word of it if it's not God. That's good, eh? Okay. So, unfortunately, the other side of that is, oh Lord, please help me get this right. You'll do well. You'll do really well. I realized I threw you in the deep end there without giving you a lot of instruction. I want to just let you in. I've been the Lord called me to be a prophet when I was 16 years old. And I'm now 65 and I'm no good at maths, so you'll have to do those maths. So I've been prophesying most of those years. This is my prophetic process every time, just about, that I prophesy over people. Help, Lord, I don't have anything. Give me something. That's my starting point often. And then sometimes I just know that I'm supposed to prophesy over people and I don't have anything. And I'm like, okay, there's a verse that says when you open your mouth, I'll fill it. So that means I have to do something. I have to actually open my mouth. So often I will open my mouth and I will start like this. I really feel the Lord wants you to know, first of all, how much he loves you. That's a prophetic word you can give to anybody, anytime, and it's valid. But what it does is it's priming the pump. I'm getting my mouth moving and then believing that God's going to add more. So if you get stuck, that's a freebie. You can start with that anywhere, anytime. First of all, God wants you to know how much he loves you. And then go from there with what he puts in your heart and mind next. So that's my prophetic process. Unless God divinely downloads something. But usually he only gives me like the first sentence or something. And I've got to step out in faith and believe that he's going to bring the rest through. So if he operates differently with you, please can you come and lay hands on me? Because be really, really good. Okay, so let's have the chocolate bar picture up if that's okay. This is our next activation. Now, I'm sorry these pictures aren't bigger. How many of you know God is good? God is yummy. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So this is a chocolate bar activation. These are all real chocolate bars from different countries around the world. The first one says divine, second peace, quest, good life. The one that you can't read says forever free, and it's free of sugar. Mine, the second one down, forgive and forget, promises, picnic, amazing raisin, energy, boost. I can't read that one. I did read it really well the other day. Okay, forget the middle one. Freedom is the next one. Feast, favorites, marvelous creations, believe, good news, Mars or out of this world, bar none, flame, bounty, and big love. Those are all actual chocolate bars. And these are, I stole these pictures, I have to be honest, from a guy that I know, his book called The Chocolate Gospel. And he presents the gospel using all these chocolate bars. It's an amazing book. It's called The Chocolate Gospel by Paul Ellis. So we're going to use these chocolate bars to give a word of encouragement to somebody. Or a prophetic word. The difference between a word of encouragement usually speaks into something they're going through right now. A prophetic word often speaks into something that is coming up or what God has for them, how he sees them. So I really don't know why they differentiate between them in scripture, because they're really the same, from my perspective. So have a look, see which one speaks to you, and then you're going to give a prophetic word or a word of encouragement to someone using the word that is the name of that chocolate bar somewhere in that prophetic word. Okay, so again, I'll quickly show, anyone want, okay, darling, come on down. She guessed the question before I even asked it. Okay, what's your name, darling?
Christine.
Good to meet you. Oh, I have met you before, yes, but yeah. Okay, so I'm going, okay, God, which one help? I don't have anything. Okay, so my eyes got drawn to Amazing Raisin. And how many of you, there was a program when you grew up that had Amazing Raisins in them? No? Okay. You're all obviously younger. My kids had sheets with them on. And there were these raisin characters that were cartoon characters in a TV program. And it was called Amazing Raisins. But anyway. But what I felt the Lord saying, Christine, was it? What I felt the Lord saying in that is that there are some areas of your childhood that God's about to give you understanding of that will bring almost like a wrapping up for you. Some things that you didn't quite know what that was all about. And God says, I'm about to show you what I was doing back then, and I'm about to give you understanding so that those things become settled and those things become integrated in your life, and are not the cause of, what was that all about, God? I don't understand why that had to happen. And I don't know whether that's good stuff or bad stuff. Usually it relates to stuff that's been hard for us. But God wants to show you that he's amazing, and he's going to give you context and give you understanding. Okay? Okay. So
thank you.
That's all right. Okay, so that's what you're going to do. You're going to use the word that's the name of the chocolate bar in that prophetic word or that word of encouragement somewhere. Okay? So jump up, find yourself another partner. Lots of jump up and downs tonight. You might want to wander up and have a look at them. Okay, everybody, if you can finish off now and take your seat again. This one's a really good one for if you're in the supermarket and you want to prophesy over somebody in the supermarket. Buy them a bounty bar, or buy them a Mars bar, or buy them a boost, and give them a prophetic word and say, hey, as I walked past you, I really felt this. And you don't, how many of you were here this morning? One of the things I loved in that video that Grant showed us this morning The guy said, God took himself out of the picture to reach me. Sometimes you don't have to be in their face. Say, hey, I just want to give you a word of encouragement today. I think you need a boost in your life right now. And you hand them a boost bar and you say, you know what? I think that you're about to step into a season where you get encouraged more than any that you have in the past in your life. Encouragement's going to come from the left. It's going to come from the right. And some of it's going to come from God. And it can be as simple as that. You don't have to give them the whole gospel in their face every time. When we're doing our night markets, most of our sharing the gospel was like that. It wasn't in your face. It was where they were at, what they could handle, taking them one step closer, sowing a seed and believing that God would do the watering and God would do the reaping. Our job was to sow the seed. And there were some we did get to share with and they became Christians. But there were others that came back week after week, month after month. One lady used to come and she'd say, can I just sit here in the corner because this is the only place I find peace. And she came for months before she opened up enough that we could share with her. We'd say, yeah, just sit in the corner. That's fine. And she'd just sit there and she'd listen and she'd pick up bits here and there and then she'd just walk off. And then she'd come back and she'd go, do you mind if I just sit here again? I just need to feel peace. So sometimes it's not about being in their face. Sometimes it's about sowing a seed and showing some love. And chocolate shows love like a whole pile of stuff doesn't sometimes. So be creative in the way that you share with people. I know, I don't know the lady, but a friend was telling me about a nun that she knows. And this nun's calling is she buys bunches of flowers and she goes, buckets of flowers, and she goes and stands at the airport and she sees who's coming off the plane. And she goes up to them and says, I just want to bless you today. I just want to bless you today. I just want to encourage you today. You look like you could do with a little bit of cheering up. And that's all she does. Hands out flowers at the airport. And the airport staff know her. And they've given her permission. She doesn't shove Jesus in their face. But her clothing says that she's a nun. Not a traditional black, you know, modern one. So there's so many different ways you can use prophecy. And evangelism is one of the greatest ways you can use it. Okay, so we're going to do another one. Oh, are you having fun yet? Yep. Who got spoken to through this last one? Yep. Okay, we're going to do another visual one. On the table, you'll have to come up and have a look at the table. But on the table, we've got a whole pile of different things. Again, interpreting dreams and the prophetic is often about learning to make connections. Connections between what you see and what the Lord's saying. So if you're a seer, some people think seers only ever see visions. But a seer is someone whose prophetic gift is activated by seeing. So for me, I could give you a prophetic word off every one of these objects because my prophetic gift gets activated by seeing. So I see something and immediately I make connections in the spirit between what God's wanting to do. Does that make sense? Some of you will be feelers. You'll walk into a room and you'll go, oh, all of a sudden I know that there's somebody in here who's feeling suicidal because I wasn't feeling suicidal before I walked into the room. And now all of a sudden I'm overwhelmed with feelings. Because you're a feeler. And that's one of the way your revelatory gift gets activated, you feel what's happening. Others of you will be perceivers. You just know that you know that you know. And you don't know how you know. You just know. And you will second guess yourself like no one else. Because you won't have a picture to hinge it on, a hearing word. Some of you will be hearers, and your prophetic or revelatory gifts will be activated by hearing. Might be by hearing a song. In scripture, there was a prophet who called for a minstrel to activate his prophetic gift. He was a hearer. His gift was activated by hearing. You might hear the sound of something go past on the street, and it activates your prophetic or your revelatory gifting. Does that make sense to you? So again, this is another seeing one, because interpreting dreams is all about seeing and making connections there. So we've got all sorts of weird things on here. We've got a duster. We've got an Oscar statuette, a coffee cup. How many of you know the love languages of coffee? If you haven't, have a look on my Facebook page. That's my love language, coffee. You buy me a coffee, you will be my friend for life. You make me a coffee the way I like it. Oh my goodness, I will move in with you. You tell me you want to hold me like coffee, I will walk away. Because physical touch is my lowest. So, okay, so we have a painting of a cup of tea or a coffee, a hula girl, a triangle, and it does make a nice sound. So come on up and have a look at these. Ask the Lord to draw your eye to something in particular. And again, we're going to get a prophetic word that jumps off, or a word of encouragement that jumps off being activated by sight. Or it may be the sound. Maybe the sound of this. It's just... there about if you don't sound a clear sound, how will they hear? So, connections with scripture. Okay, so again, I'm going to demonstrate. Come on up, darling. People. Okay, so I better have a look and see what's on the table. Hey, what's your name? Sorry. Tiffany. Good to meet you. What's my prophetic process?
Help.
That's the one. Happens just about every time. So I'm looking over this table, and my eye is drawn to this. It says little missile. It's one of those little throwing things that kids throw to each other, and it goes through the air. And I think you're supposed to catch it. It says for ages 3+. And that's where my eye was drawn. Little missile for ages 3+. And I felt the Lord say that there is a childlikeness about your life that is disarming and is weaponized. And that childlikeness disarms the barriers. It disarms the things that people want to put up that stop love getting in. But that you have the ability to go beyond that because of your childlikeness. And God uses you as a missile that causes love to go deep into their lives in a way that disarms their defenses. Okay, so it's just... So come on up and have a look, and then find yourself a partner. Sorry, you're going to have to squeeze around the table to have a quick look. First thing your eye gets drawn to, or the thing your eye gets drawn to the most. Don't take it away because someone else will have to use it. Someone else will want to refer to it as well. Okay, so you're just remembering it. and then grab the person next to you, and that's the person you're going to prophesy over. And again, the $2 shop is a great place to find prophetic gifts for people. Everything on that table except for the painting is from the $2 shop. Okay, don't take too long. Don't think it through too much. The thing that grabs your eye... And then grab a person. Okay, we're not going to use the pictures that are on your chair. We'll gather all those up. If you want to pass them along to the end of, into the middle of the row, Ruth, can I get you to grab them for me? Just bring them into the middle here. Thank you. Okay, so while you're doing that, we're going to do one more. Which one? How many of you found that one hard? Anyone? No. Yes. Good on you. Because making connections is so important in the prophetic. Connecting to what the Lord's showing you and what he's highlighting to you is huge. And it's the same in interpreting your dreams. We're going to do one more. Can we have the Scrabble photo up? Again, this is a visual one. And we've got a whole pile of Scrabble words there. The one that's got a blank one is an H. I ran out of H's. So that's an H. Some weird words there. Some of them are good, some of them are like, seriously, how would you get a prophetic word off that word? Again, find a word that the Lord draws your attention to. Oh, I sent you the wrong word. The wrong picture. The picture I meant to send did have an H in all right. But this one has a spelling mistake. Darn. Never mind. Okay. That what you thought was a mistake, I'm about to make all right. That a prophetic word for somebody? Mm-hmm. See, it's not hard, is it? Okay, so again, you're going to find a word that speaks to you. Or actually, this time first, find your partner first and then ask the Lord which word. Okay, which word, Lord, do you want to speak to them? And again, you're going to use that word in your prophetic word somewhere. Or else you can use that word, it can be the springboard to give you a prophetic word. So we just gave you one that's an example of how to use it, so I won't pull anyone up for this one. So find yourself a partner, then ask the Lord, which word do you want to speak to them about? For someone here, and I don't know who this is for, but up on there, there's the word lab, L-A-B. And I feel the Lord saying the lab tests are going to be okay. Okay? That obviously resonated with someone. The lab tests are going to be okay. Thank you, Father. Okay, so find your partner, ask the Lord, and then go for it. Okay, if I can have your attention just as we're finishing up for the evening. Okay, we're just handing out a couple of sheets for you to take home. And this is why I didn't spend too much time going into how to actually interpret your dream, because I was going to send you home with these. So this is how I interpret my dreams and how I learned to interpret them. They've all gone chatty on me. I won't whistle at you because I can't whistle. Look at that. But whistling works. If you can whistle, it works well. I can't. So these are for you to take home. The second one is, this is how I work my dreams out at home, and it's just a picture form of the instructions on the first page. So it just gives you some breakdown of how to actually work through processing your dream with the Holy Spirit. You look at making sure you record your dream. Some people have a dream journal beside their bed so that when they wake up in the night and they've just had a dream, they can write it down. All I want to do is go back to sleep. So if a dream journal beside your bed works for you, have one. If it doesn't, don't feel bad because you're not doing it right. Because you can get into all sorts of legalism and stuff over all this sort of stuff. But do take note of the dreams that you remember. Write them down if you can. Give it a title, like Walk in the Park could be the title for that dream that I shared with you. Give it a date as well. Put the date on it. Draw a picture of your dream. Record the dominant theme of it, if there is a particular theme, or the action or situation that occurs in the dream. So the predominant dream might be, if you're dreaming about your family, it might just be family. It's the general theme of it. Record the content, take note. Don't get too bogged down in the details. Usually dream is about the overall content. The meaning of a dream is about the overall content rather than every little detail. So don't get bogged down in every little detail and what does every little detail mean, because you'll end up just getting yourself really, you know, I've got to work out, oh, there was a yellow daisy lying on the side table beside the clock beside, and you'll go, what does a yellow daisy mean? I've got to find out what a yellow daisy means. When that yellow daisy might not have anything to do with the rest of the dream at all, it might just have been background. You know, so just take note of the main things. There's a section there called About My Life. And this is something that's important just to be aware of. I have to take my glasses off to read up close. What time did you go to bed? Take note of what time you went to bed. If you went to bed really, really late, or you went to bed super, super early, sometimes that can have an effect on your dreams. What did you watch, read, or listen to just before going to bed can have an effect on your dreams. What kind of mood were you in before you went to bed? If you went to bed and you were really, really feeling down, then probably your dreams are going to reflect that, because your dreams are going to be trying to communicate to you about that. What did you drink? Did you take any medication? Medication can have a huge effect on dreams, particularly if you're on antidepressants, things like that. They can hugely affect your dreams, so be aware of that. What was your focus at the time or that day? And then was it you were having a prayer time? Was it relationship, career? What sort of thing was in your mind and heart before you went to bed? So those are some things to take note of, because they can influence what you dream. And then ask the Holy Spirit to show you what the interpretation is. Learn how to make connections. Remember, most of your dreams are going to be about your daily life rather than going to be dreams about the church. You might have a double meaning dream, like that dream that I mentioned about the standing on the hill with the other four people and looking at the infrastructure of the city. You can have a double meaning dream like that. But the most prophetic people err on thinking all their dreams are prophetic. And the reality is our brains are wired to look for patterns. And it's a natural way that we're wired. And if you're prophetic, you can get to the, you can go to an extreme of thinking that every single thing that happens in your life must have prophetic import. A picture of you see a wispy cloud and you go, oh, that's an angel. It's not. It's a wispy cloud. Don't put it on Facebook and go, can you see the angel? Because I'm gonna answer that one, and I'm gonna private message you, and I'm gonna say, tell me what happened to you. Tell me what you saw, what you experienced, what you were going through, because I wanna understand what this picture is, otherwise I'm just gonna think you're weird. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Don't apply spiritual significance to every single thing. How many of you know that if you're thinking about buying a brand new Prius, what are you going to see every time you drive down the street? Priuses everywhere, because your focus is that way. And what you focus on, you see. If you see numbers, 555, 111, the same thing. You're going to be looking every time you look at the clock to see whether it's a number that is a multiple. And when it is, you're going to go, oh, there's another one. And you might have looked at the clock 50 times in between and there were no multiples. But your eye goes, oh, there's another one. And you apply prophetic significance to something that may simply be a coincidence. And some of you won't like me for that, but really I don't care whether you like me or not. I'm here to train you. And the reality is God doesn't want flaky prophetic people. He wants prophetic people that know how to bring context to people who are struggling with things. He wants prophetic people who know how to hear clearly and read and understand clearly so that they can speak into the situations around them in a way that's not weird. Does that make sense? So learn to interpret your dreams, because you're going to find that people are going to come to you and they're going to say, hey, I had this weird dream. Do you know anything about dreams? And because you've learned how to interpret yours, you're going to be able to help give them context to how God is speaking to them as well. So use those. Use them tomorrow, because you'll probably have a dream tonight. And those of you that think you don't dream, don't worry about it. Don't think you're abnormal because you don't remember your dreams. I have a friend who dreams like about 10 dreams a night and records every one of them and interprets every one of them. I wonder how she has time to do anything else in life, actually. But just do this, do the ones that feel significant, you know, and ask the Lord for those ones to start with. You don't have to get bogged down in the minutiae of it all. Okay, so have fun, because it is fun. God's a good God. He's a good chocolate God. He is other things as well, but we'll go with the chocolate idea tonight. And he wants to give you good dreams. He wants to give you answers that help you come to resolution of the things that you're facing in life, give you answers, give you inventive ideas. So, yeah, we'll finish there. Janet, I'll hand over to you. Just
thank you, Lynn. That was absolutely great. Very good. I don't actually have anything else to do but go home, have sweet dreams. But even if you have nightmares, that was a really good one from England. I like that. I thought, okay, of course. Look into them. See, have a think about what they're actually about and what they might be revealing to me. So God bless you all. We'll be doing, aiming at another one of these just after the prophetic school. Do you remember the date, Lynn? 28th. It'll probably be if it's Sunday night is the 30th, then it'll be the 30th for the next prophet. Okay, God bless, and have fun prophesying, and stretch. Remember to stretch. Have a go.